Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Sorry.
That started.
It's just started, and it's so cold. We've turned on the little heater in this room, and it's literally just started spurting out cold air. It's heating up.
It takes a while. You press the button and then it takes about 5 minutes and then suddenly
cold air
surprises Ben Potter. Yeah.
And now it's hot air. It's fine.
And I'm also called Ashton.
Yeah, welcome Ashton. How are you feeling this week?
Much better, thank you.
Good.
I don't feel like someone's trying to drill out of my head like I did last week.
That's good. That's never
It was a, such fun. Had a great
a good time.
Mm.
Well, it's fortunate that you are here because last week I took over your sponsor for you. This week you've offered to take over Peter's sponsor, which is sort of creating this sort of debt that's going to be passed forward
I
for generations.
You not just say you've swapped with each other?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have, because then Peter, and then I'll just do the week after that. And we'll just
Are you sure?
That. Yeah.
Are you sure we'll remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a good chance that I will do
I normally
after.
Follow the order. So if Peter does it, then I know that next the week after will be me.
Sounds like a deal. What have you got for us, Ashton?
So I was contacted by, you know them, you love them, or you hate them because they're a bit weird. Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We've got a new game coming out this week. Mm. And whenever I see the name of it, obviously you think AC, my brain sometimes goes Animal Crossing. Air conditioning. But they've come out with something that they think will like...
carry on.
God, can I speak today?
No.
Everyone's just interrupting
so
me.
So busy in this room.
Gosh, so annoying. They're like, how can we make sure that we're the most famous AC? Because, you know, everyone always thinks AC Animal Crossing. No one thinks Assassin's Creed.
No one thinks Assassin's Creed.
Exactly. So they're releasing a movie.
Right.
And this movie is basically going to be loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of quick shots of assassins doing things in the games.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
Right.
Like a bunch of them from all the games to make sure that people know what it is.
Like a supercut.
Like a supercut, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it is called Assassin's Creed Montage.
Fantastic. Yes. Does it have Mitchell Fassbender in it?
Of course it does.
Brilliant.
He is a big... montage fan, and he will be in this one as well.
Yes,
apart from he won't because it's not real.
Oh, come on,
easy coming.
But I just played Assassin's Creed Montage last night.
No, you played Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Easy
to get confused, I know.
They're basically the same thing. No, we're not sponsored by Assassin's Creed Montage, unfortunately, as much as we would love to be. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. And if you go and support us there, there's tons of amazing rewards available. At the $5 tier, you get so bloody much, including this week, an episode of Main Menu.
Wow.
So you're going to want to go and check that out, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. We've also got a website, triplejump.mup. That's where you can find literally everything that we do. triplejumpshop.com. Get yourself some cool merch. I don't know that you can buy this, but you can buy a logo shirt like that.
Yeah.
You can buy that Japanese-inspired Rising Sun shirt that Peter's wearing, the Sports Time track jacket, the Triple Jump logo hoodie that Ashton is wearing there. Loads of stuff available, and it's getting cold now, and there's some nice warm things on there, so maybe go check out triplejumpshop.com.
Yeah.
Out this week on the channel, it's weirdest games ever, Ashton.
It is. We played a game called The Quiet Man. It was bad.
Mm.
Bad. But
it was weird,
still
though.
Weird, though. Definitely weird.
Mm.
More weird than bad. So check that out on Sunday when it comes out.
Mm.
It's going to be good. Also coming out this week,
yes.
I've quite excited, actually.
So am I.
It's the first episode of a series that me and our writer Kat have been working on. We're just calling it at this point, Why?
Why?
But this week we're talking about why do gamers buy into the console war? So if you want to find out what the psychology is behind it, then why not go over to the channel and find out what we found out.
It's very good. I forgot to say to you, actually, I have watched it and it's very good.
Thank you.
It's really good. And please go and support it out right now on the channel.
It is.
Another thing, as I just mentioned, main menu for patrons. Yes. Go check that out, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Peter,
yes.
Should we get started with some of these questions?
Let's. This first question is from Richard Group.
It's got a bit hot now.
It is really warm. Who asks, what direction would you like to see PlayStation? I don't know why I'm shouting, because they've all got to listen to me shouting.
I can hear you.
Me perfectly well. I need to shout. What direction would you like to see PlayStation go in with Jim stepping down? We did do a brief sort of story read on this last week, but just for context, if you haven't heard, according to IGN, this one, Jim Ryan, who's been president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment since 2019, is retiring in March 2024, Sony announced today, which was the 27th of September.
He's not been a CEO for that long. I thought it was longer than that, but did briefly go into a vortex for a few years.
It did. He's been high up on the ladder for a long time.
Mm. Yeah. Says the news first broke via Jason Schreier on Twitter, then Sony announced it after the fact, and Hiroki Totoki will be assuming interim CEO role starting April 1st, 2024. So,
As a prank.
Lol.
It's just a prank, bro.
He's not stepping down for a while, so we've got a while. And then I would assume that up until April, that's enough time for them to hire a new CEO. So I'm quite surprised they're going to have an interim CEO after Jim Bob steps down.
Mm.
There's certain things that I would like to see less of.
Yes.
Such as live service games.
Hooray! Yeah. We love those. They're going so well.
Whoever takes over to be like, you know how you were doing all that stuff with live service? Well, actually, we don't want to do that anymore. So we're going to do our own thing. That's what I would like less of from PlayStation. Or at least like less talk about it and like discussion and like kind of hints that that's the way that they want to go. Because we've seen that a lot. We've not actually seen many come out since they've been talking about live service games. But we know that there has been a bunch that they are wanting to do. So.
Yeah. I agree. I'd like to see less or fewer live service games. Also, I wouldn't mind, really, if they kind of got a bit more involved in multi-publisher events where, you know, trailers and things happen. I mean, I know everyone started to do that now, but they were one of the first big companies to step away from, for example, E3.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their Nintendo Direct and their showcases and their special live events and stuff. And those all work very well. There's nothing wrong with what PlayStation are doing or with what anyone else is doing right now. But I do kind of miss sitting down in, you know, video games week, video games summer, and knowing that, you know, 3 or 4 days back to back, there's a load of things to watch from all the big companies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes Sony will be involved in that, or sometimes they won't. They certainly don't officially get involved in sort of major conferences anymore, but sometimes they might do a showcase that week anyway.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see more of that.
They do tend to send like one trailer.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, Jeff, have Spider-Man.
They do a little bit of a something, but then, you know, as I say, to be fair, it's no longer just a PlayStation thing. You know, perhaps some years ago I could have said, oh, it's a shame because Microsoft and Nintendo still, you know, go to these things, but Sony don't. Now everyone's doing it. But yeah, if I could get them all to just get together at Christmas, but not Christmas, video game Christmas.
Yes.
All the family around the dinner table showing some trailers. I do kind of miss that.
Mm. Yeah.
So PlayStation and everyone else, maybe do that again.
Live service needs to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. It's got to stop. We've heard this week that Naughty Dog's Factions, which sounded kind of live service-y, is practically on ice at this point. And these games, they do not move the needle for people at all. we've spoken about it before, about how every developer and publisher wants a slice of this crazy pie. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Fortnite is not seeing the revenue that it once did, which we'll talk about in the big discussion this week, should tell you all you need to know. Everyone's chasing it. It's such a gamble to potentially have unending earnings mm-hmm. when you could put these resources into what people want from PlayStation, which is these single player narrative experiences mm-hmm. that, yeah, they don't make as much money as Fortnite, but they still make a lot of money. And they're also like prestige releases that people get really excited for and always review really well, unless mm-hmm. your Day's Gone, and that didn't review quite as well, but that was slightly different. So that needs to change. I'm worried that it's not, though, because they've, you know, I've started, so I'll finish.
Mm. Yeah.
And the person that they bring in, from what I understand about Totoki, who's subbing in for James while he goes on happy retirement.
Yes. For Ryan, yeah.
For Ryan, James Ryan. Two first names as well. Have you done that one with
James? No, I've not, actually.
There you go. He is apparently a bit of a numbers man. He's driven by results, and he's one of those who absolutely probably, I can, and you know what, I will say it with almost certainty, not knowing the man, doesn't like video games. I cannot imagine he plays them. He's from higher up in the Sony corporate structure.
I wonder if he has the same bubbling personality that Jim Ryan
I can
had.
Almost guarantee that he does. I think from what I've heard, he's a numbers man, and he will look at the numbers and just say, that's not working, stop that. Mm. That's not doing as well as it should do, get rid of that. You know, he's a ruthless businessman.
Live service seems lucrative.
Do that. Mm. There's a chance that he will either see that, or it could go the other way, but there's a good chance that they will end up hiring someone who will continue what Jim has started, or that can be molded in Hiroki Totoki's image, which is a slightly scary prospect for people who enjoy Sony as it is. But you're right, Peter, as well. Some more consumer fan-focused, fan-facing stuff would be nice. It'd be nice to have someone who's in charge who's a bit more affable, someone who might pop up on a podcast and have a chat, have a laugh, a bit of charisma, someone who might reinstate some of these... what was it called? The Sony conference, PSX, you know, that kind of stuff. Or an E3-type showcase with a person, rather than a disembodied voiceover woman. You know, something like that. That would be lovely. But in terms of the games, I'd like them to maybe embrace some of the smaller projects like Miles Morales, games that, you know, take an immense amount of effort and work, but that Insomniac have almost perfected getting out within the time span of like 2 or 3 years, rather than these games like The Last of Us that can write Naughty Dog off for like 7, 8 years, which is insane. If you can get games out sooner than 5 years and still have them be a decent quality, but they're slightly shorter, that would be fine.
Well,
I'd be okay with that.
As I'm about to reveal in what we play, and I've been playing a standalone expansion of our game this week, and I've just been sitting there thinking like, yeah, can we not do more of this, please? I mean, I guess with an expansion, that implies that the first big game had to be made in the first place. But still, you know, you play these smaller games sometimes and you're like, look, I'd be quite happy with like more of this, just like really good, short-ish stuff.
Mm.
So yeah, I agree. More of that would be nice.
It would. Also, some more weird stuff as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a shame that Sony Japan Studio, have gone, because they used to make all sorts of strange stuff, and that would be nice to see again. I know they make these deals that bring them exclusively to PS5, or you know, have indie games be part of PlayStation Plus in its various tiers, but it would be lovely to see again studios make things like The Puppeteer or Rain, or I'm trying to think of other stuff, Tokyo Jungle, Flower and Flow were obviously exclusive for a long old time, things like that. Just some weird stuff. Make some small weird things that don't necessarily review very well, but you can have a talented studio just work on those, you know?
I was gonna say, I want Totoki to just come out on stage and go Flower 2,
and he does the splits.
Yeah,
that would be sick. I would love that.
I would also like Sony to play a bit nicer with certain other like big studios. I'd like them to get involved with like Valve. I mean, they're already putting some of their games on PC, but it takes them like 2 years. But it would be nice to kind of like see a bit of PlayStation getting involved with other things. Mm-hmm. Like Xbox already launched a lot of their games on PC as well as on Xbox, because obviously they have PC Game Pass, so it is a bit easier for them. But I would like them to just kind of maybe put the feelers out, be a bit friendlier with other like big companies, just because I feel like if they do that, then PlayStation players will get stuff in return. I still think that they're missing a trick by like not putting their PSVR 2 games on PC VR, in the same way I think that a PC VR games should go on PSVR 2, because like this is such a small platform and it's such a small range of games that I think it would only benefit players who enjoy VR games if they were a bit friendly with each other.
VR 2 so far has not had the exclusives to justify, I think, anyone wanting to rush out and buy it. Just, you know, you may as well get a PC headset. I know you have to buy a PC as well, but if you get, what's it called?
The Quest 2,
then you don't even need a PC for that. And the amount of games available is unbelievable. So why wouldn't you just get that? Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Well, hopefully the future's bright for Sony. It remains to be seen. We've got how many more months of James? We've got 7 more months? Six more months?
What month are we now? October. November,
now.
December, January, February, March. 5 months.
5 months.
5 months of Jim. We will see what happens. We are in a tumultuous period currently in the games industry. Again, we'll talk about that a bit later in the podcast. So projects being cancelled all over the place. I hope someone sees sense. I hope jobs aren't lost as a result of it. But the live service future, it's just not going to... It's stop it. Just stop. Just stop
halt.
It.
Please stop.
No one wants it. Yeah, you might hop into Fair Game. Or what is that one of them?
Fair Game.
What's
never
it called?
Heard of that.
What's one of their? They announced them recently.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're live, the live service games that Sony announced.
Is one of them called Fair Game?
Potentially.
It shows how much I switch off.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
I see that it's live service, and I'm like, and it tells me the name of it, and I'm like, no brain. Don't even store that information. Do not waste.
Spin it straight off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fair Game with fair a dollar game. Sign at the end. Do you not remember this?
Dollar sign? Is that what it's
the
called?
The one that looked a bit like Saints Row meets GTA.
I've chosen not to remember the name of it.
It looks crap, right? Okay, it doesn't appeal to me at all. The point being, Fair Game might come out and you might hop into it for like the opening weekend with friends and then you'll probably never play it again because you want to play Horizon or something because that's not why you own a PlayStation.
Where's the dollar sign?
It's on the end. It's Fair Games. Maybe.
Right. I was like, how's it got a dollar sign in it if there's no S?
As the point is, I don't want this and it's about me. So can you, Sony,
why don't you become Sony CEO?
Well, here's the thing,
have you got the qualifications?
It's like a penguin bar joke. No, I do not. But we've got some great ideas here. They should listen to this podcast. Should we move on to a section that we actually started while you were off, Ashton?
Oh, did you?
You went pretty well.
It's brand new. Peter, do you want to tell her what it's about?
I thought we'd keep up with it. It's called What We Play In.
It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
Played a couple of things this week. I have played... were you here, Ashton, when I said I've kind of given up on Starfield?
Yes.
Like a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So I bought 1 month of PC Game Pass. Mm-hmm. I was like, do I keep up with it or not? I was like, well, I'll decide that when I have to decide that. But in the meantime, I'm going to play some Game Pass, given that I paid for it. Mm-hmm. So I've played through Halo Reach all the way through, which I have played before, but not for, well, not kind of since the heady days of when I had a 360. I have played all the Halo trilogy since then on Steam, but not Halo Reach, which was the prequel.
Did you manage to win the game? Because I couldn't win it.
You mean at the end when you died?
I couldn't win it, I just died and then the credits rolled.
I tried my best, but...
did you die as well?
I did.
They should patch that.
They should. It's impossible.
It's weird.
And no matter how easy you have it set, you can...
You always... Like, it just ends.
Yeah.
It's honestly one of the hardest bits in any game that I've played.
And, like, my screen went funny as well.
Yeah. It made me sad, too.
Yeah.
It's like 0.1% of players have completed this achievement.
Yeah. Who are these people?
Yeah.
I want to meet them. There's got to be a YouTube video where you can win, right?
And that's it.
God gamers.
And then the original trilogy never happens because you
Because you're the winner.
Yeah. That's it. So I played all the way through that this week. And then last night, I have played maybe the first... I mean, it was probably even just less than an hour of... Blood Dragon, the Far Cry 3 standalone expansion, and that's partly because, have you seen this trailer for the Blood Dragon cartoon thing, which seemingly is nothing to do, I think, really, with the game.
Yeah.
From what I've read, obviously it's presumably set in the same universe or a version of that or something. Or maybe not. It might just be thematically, this is Blood Dragon, as in it's an homage to old, like, wacky, cheesy action stuff. Mm. But I thought, well, I'm really looking forward to that. It looks really good. Never played Blood Dragon. Maybe there'll be at least some sort of Easter eggs and stuff in the show. So I'm going to play through that and get to know it. And then I'll be able to go, oh, that thing.
It's a weird time to do it, isn't it? The anime.
Yeah.
The animation. So mm-hmm. it's maybe Ubisoft were just going through their IP like, oh God, what can we turn into a show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this one.
All of them and put them all in the same show as well.
I wonder if they were like, well, we saw how well Cyberpunk, what was that called? Edgerunners?
Edgerunners, yeah.
That did really well for the Edgelords. Mm. That did really well for the games. Maybe they're like, maybe that'll happen for our
Maybe everyone game. Will flood back in and play this yeah. expansion to the 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 game?
Yeah. Yeah, they've made some money off that.
Mm.
So, 2011. Yeah, I've been playing that. It was, it did make me think, though, I mean, spoilers for a worst or weirdest, I can't remember, but yesterday you said to me, Ben, oh, it's doing that video game thing where they say, tutorials. Yeah. It was worst games ever. I remember what it was now,
yeah.
Which is coming out shortly. You know, some games, they break the fourth wall and they say, press X to jump. And then the character goes, I could step over that. Why do I have to jump? Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And they do that in Blood Dragon. And then they still make you go all the way through a tutorial.
Yeah.
And your character is grumbling, saying, this is stupid. I just want to kill stuff. Mm. And they're like, yeah, but use the right stick to look around.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, it's really funny.
There's got to be a better way to do that in a funny game.
Yeah, yeah, so I like a lot of the kind of lampooning of certain action tropes. And I like the stupid, crazy world that they've made there, which is, you know, a lot of fun. But, you know, even after the tutorial was over, like, one of the last things that I saw before I turned it off, and this is, didn't make me turn it off angrily, but one of the last things I saw before I stopped playing yesterday was I got through the area where you first meet the Blood Dragons,
okay.
which are just dinosaurs. And it said, move slowly in order to prevent making the auditory phenomenon known as sound. And I thought, all right, you could just... That's not funny.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why waste
words?
Why waste words to make that joke, which is not even a funny joke? It's just, oh, right, yeah. So anyway, that kind of stuff I could take or leave, but I am enjoying the rest of it. So I don't know how much of it I'll play, given that it's a big-ish open world, but we'll see. But I'm enjoying it so far.
Nice.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
I've played two things.
Mm-hmm.
One I'll tell you about now, and one I'll tell you about in a minute.
Oh.
I finished the Phantom Liberty DLC for Cyberpunk 2077, and I really enjoyed that. I forgot how much I liked that game. You get like a whole new set of endings for the game by doing the DLC. You can finish that game without having to do any of the main quest line
really?
By just doing the DLC. Yeah, you can like... it opens up kind of... I think within the first few hours you can go there. And once you've done that, if you go through the whole DLC, you can get an ending that just like takes you to the end of the game without having to do any of the rest of the story.
Oh.
Which was quite good actually, because it was quite a nice end point for me to leave it on. I really enjoyed that and I really liked that game. And having played it, it's put me off Starfield even more. Like, I just enjoyed the RPG element and like running around there and doing all the quests and, you know, exploring the world. But I just, there was no loading screens. Everyone had like movements of their faces. It was just nice. It felt like just a really nice like time playing that game. And I think that all the updates they've made to it, everything they've done has really like fixed it and has made it a really good experience. So if you haven't played Cyberpunk yet, I truly recommend playing it. My boyfriend watched me play bits of it and he's not played it, and he was like, oh man, I actually really want to play Cyberpunk now, having watched you play it. I just think it's great, and I was quite surprised, because I said this when we did the review corner, I was worried that Keanu Reeves wasn't in it, because right at the beginning he kind of gets kicked out of your psyche and someone else starts talking to you, and I thought, is he just not in this? But he is in it quite a lot
okay.
at the end of it. And yeah, I just think it's a really good DLC. It's a really nice size. I feel like you kind of get what you paid for. It adds quite a lot to the game story-wise. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good DLC as far as it's come. And I think that the game started out crap, but it's definitely still got a few bugs in it.
The game is fixed, as Idris tells
us. The game
us.
Is fixed. There is still a quest that I just couldn't do because I'm supposed to go to talk to this guy and he's in like a garage and the garage door just wouldn't open. So he's talking to me like, come in here, Choom. And I'm like, I can't get in.
Come in.
I can't, Mike. I'm stuck outside.
I'd be interested to know what the drop-off rate or the retention rate is for Starfield, given that all three of us, maybe just for the moment, if Ben will go back to it.
I don't know when I'll go back to it. That's
this is my same thing. I'm just like, now I've fallen off it, I just don't know when I'm going to find the time to get back into it.
I was obviously quite quick to drop off, but given that you two have as well, and you've sort of had better offers come along, then I wonder how many of the people, maybe we're just sort of anomalies.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Is James Jenkins still playing
it? That's what
my
I was about to say. I don't know.
Playing it, right. But okay. I don't.
I'm still seeing a lot of content on the internet.
I'm seeing a lot less now, but it might just be the algorithm for me.
It didn't quite have the staying power that like Tears of the Kingdom did. Like I was still seeing that stuff for like weeks after people building like a penis monster or whatever out of the things. But I've not seen as much about Starfield recently.
I saw a lobster spaceship, and that's about the only thing I've seen for about 2 weeks.
Mm. I'm sure we will get, if it has dropped off at the rate that, you know, if we're the case study here, then there's a 100% drop off.
one is playing anymore.
But if there is a huge, you know, they made such a big song and dance about how many people were playing it at launch, their biggest launch for any game ever. I'm sure if there's any truth to there being a drop off of players, we'll get an article on Kotaku in like a week saying in just 3 weeks, the player base has dropped by 10,000%.
Weren't we supposed to be playing it for 10 years? Wasn't that a headline at one point?
Christ. Yeah, I suppose if you go to every bloody planet, maybe. Yeah. But
my character's still stuck on Neon.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you got softlocked.
I've not played it since then, and I genuinely believe I'm stuck on Neon.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they'll fix that by the time you go back to it, if you go back
maybe.
To it.
Maybe.
Or
I'll be stuck on
Neon. Or will.
Or maybe not. Yeah, I've arrived on Neon, and I was just doing something. I'm going to have to remember everything that's going on. I really need to go back to that game.
Yeah.
So my issue was that Lies of P happened.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's okay, and then I'll get back to it. And it's like, well, Spider-Man's out.
Well, this is
really
my exact
soon. Yeah. And then there's Assassin's Creed Mirage, and it's like, well, maybe I can fit that in. I don't know.
I played Cyberpunk. I finished that. And then as soon as I finished that, literally day of, we got a code for Assassin's Creed Mirage, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Yes. And then that's going to take me a while. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but I'm enjoying just running around so far. I think by the time I finish that, Spider-Man will come out. And then after that, I don't know. Maybe I'll have time then, but it's going to be a while, before I can go back to it.
I booked the day off for Spider-Man.
Nice.
I'm gonna do it. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to play Spider-Man all day. And that's that's my plan. Which means there'll be no time for Starfield.
No.
Yeah. For at least the foreseeable. Is there anything else coming out before the end of the year?
Alan Wake's coming out. I mean, the City Skylines is also coming out, but that's not for everyone.
Not really for me. No.
There is something else. There's some stuff in November, I think, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Sorry.
I've had Spider-Man as the end of year game in my head for so long that I can't really think about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, what have you been playing?
I finished Lies of P.
Yeah.
I did it.
Congratulations.
I had a great time until the end, and then I had a really bad time.
Oh.
I was flying. As I said last week on the podcast, I was flying. I was doing so well. I was killing all the boys. I've leveled up. You know, nothing can stop me. I'm really good at these games.
And they've just made it easier, haven't they?
Yes. I know I said on the podcast last week that there were articles saying that, it's the hardest. It's the hardest Souls-like out there. Mm. And then literally the day of, they released a patch that nerfed one of the final bosses and also made some things easier. They addressed one of my issues with the game, which was that some of the normal enemies just have way too much health, which doesn't make any sense. They're like tiny little puppets and they're tanks and it doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And then you face gigantic things and they have about the same health, which just doesn't make sense. It's not about it being hard. So it's about it not making sense, Neowiz. So they fixed that. But I had some time and I flew through the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the final area, I think, last time we spoke. And the final area is gigantic. It's this huge tower that you slowly make you up. It's got like it's got seven of the equivalent of bonfires. It's a big, big area that you slowly wind your way up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat the two penultimate bosses first try. because I'm so good. Wow. And I was like, this is brilliant. I'm going to finish this game. And then I hit the final boss, and that was not fun at all. I sat there because it was our friend Jack from Cultaholic. It was his birthday over the weekend, and he was having some drinks in town. And so I had this, like, it was about 10 a.m. when I started fighting this boss. And I was like, right, okay, I need to leave at like 2:45 to get there for these drinks. And the frustration of sitting there for 2¾ hours on one boss, mm-hmm. just dying over and over and over again and doing progressively worse and worse and worse. It was, the energy in that room was so bad that the cat that has recently moved into my house went, you know what? It's banning here. I'm going to go upstairs. So I was abandoned by the cat, and then I just had to put it down. Now the defeat that I felt having to leave the house, knowing that I had this period of time where I could dedicate to beating this boss, and I couldn't do it. It was awful. And then the following morning, I beat it the second try.
Oh wow!
So I really sometimes feel like when you're like really struggling, yeah. and then you're like, right, I can't do this anymore.
Take
and
a
then
walk.
You come back the next day, like, oh, actually, this was really.
That's how it yeah. works. Sometimes you do just need to walk away and calm down and come back to it. And I beat it second try. I looked up some guides on the internet, and they said, oh, basically, just buy like a load of throwable items because that will chip off some of its health in the whatever phase of the fight it is. And it was just like, it still wasn't working for me. But then anyway, I did then end up beating it. So I finished that game, and it had a really interesting post-credit scene, which makes me quite excited for what they do next. Whether that be a DLC or whether that be a follow-up game, I'm not entirely sure. But you have my attention, NeoWiz. You made a fantastic video game, and I'm really proud of you.
Before you carry on, there is another big game coming out this year. Actually, yeah. there's two. It's Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name.
Yes.
There's a Super Mario RPG. And in December is Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Don't know if I'm going to play that. But yeah, none of those.
Maybe one of those I'll play.
I'll definitely give them a go.
I might look at Avatar near other time, how it's shaping up.
Yeah. So then I jumped back into Liza P after the fact because I was like, maybe there's some trophies I can get, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out that one of the trophies was to do an entire other playthrough. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I can't. Bring myself to I can't do that
I
to myself
that.
Again yeah. But then I went through, you know, when I was going through some of the earlier areas picking up some items for trophies for some easy ones that I'd missed. God, it's so nice going back to earlier areas in games that were kicking your ass and just like blinking things out of existence. You feel so powerful. So I'm done with Liza P. That's done now. I also, after an intense battle, finished the Telltale series, The Expanse.
Oh yeah,
I saw you were playing that.
Yeah. Didn't like it, unfortunately. Oh, no. In the end, was not really for me. I think fundamentally as a game, it was fine. But story-wise, it, as I said before, relied more and more on you knowing about The Expanse, which I don't.
Right.
And so I felt more and more lost. And beyond that even, the emotional core of the entire story hinged on a relationship that I didn't feel was developed at all, and that did not mean anything to me at all. And all of the dialogue options towards the end were relating to that relationship. And I was like, I just feel so disconnected from what's even happening, which I think is a real shame. But the fight I had is not, I'm not the only one to have it. I had episode 1 and 2 on the go on PS5. And then when I went to go and access episode 3, it said it was unavailable.
Yeah.
And then when I went into when I tried to download it from inside the game, it gave me an error code.
Oh.
And then I looked it up, and it turns out a lot of people on PS5 have been unable to access episode 3 and still are unable to access episode 3.
Weird.
So much so that Telltale Games have updated their how to download these episodes guide on their website, and none of those things work. I tried all the methods. You go onto the game card on your PS5 and you scroll down to add-ons, it still says unavailable. Go through the phone app, it says unavailable. Fortunately, the code we were gifted for this game included the PS4 version, so I ended up having to replay chapters 1 and 2.
Oh,
and
man.
I played the
That's
PS4
so annoying.
Version instead. So yeah, I have no idea what's going on there, and honestly, that sort of half an hour struggle might have put me in a sour mood for the game itself. But
is it finished now?
Yeah.
Ah.
All the episodes are out, and a lot of people can't get past chapter 2.
How long is it, like, in total?
How long?
Yeah.
I think the episodes, some of the episodes will take a little while because they give you access to like an entire destroyed ship where you can fly around and find optional salvage and stuff. But the last two were a lot more linear. They're all about an hour long.
Fair.
They're not huge in length.
That's pretty wild that that's still happening as as an issue. Like,
it seems like Telltale don't even understand why it's happening.
Yeah, like clearly it's a known issue if they've like updated their page and like it's all over the internet and stuff. Like, you'd think that might happen on a, you know, for a 12-hour period. Like, oh, whoops, someone pressed the button on our server or whatever, and it's all broken.
Yeah.
But no, like, it's still
that's
happening.
That's
I restored my PS5's licenses and everything. God. I deleted it. I reinstalled it. Wow. It still wasn't working. So something strange is going on. Jesus, the fans just come on again. So I can sort of try and work out two things from this. Either that this issue is affecting a small amount of players and that's why there hasn't been a lot of stories written, or there just aren't that many people who are playing it.
Mm.
And maybe that's why we're not hearing much. But I do hope that Telltale sticks around to, you know, see off The Wolf Among Us and whatever future games they make. But The Expanse was a swing and a miss for me. It's nice to have them back, but yeah, I'm it's not one that I'm going to be going back and getting trophies in.
They're not owned by Embracer, are they? Because if they are, they might get destroyed.
Mm. No, I think we're safe on that.
Good.
On that
was
front.
It The Wolf Among Us that the guy who wrote it, like the IP, he's just made it public domain overnight.
Has he?
It might not be The Wolf Among Us. I'm going to have to check that now.
Was it called? I think the series is called Fable. Fables.
Yeah, I don't know why I think it's that. It's probably not. I'm going to Google it and it'll be like something completely
No, it's
different.
Not that, idiot.
Yeah. Wolf Among Us public domain.
Is that everything you've played?
That's everything I've played. So while Peter looks that up, how about we hop over into the review corner and talk about Assassin's Creed?
It is.
It is.
Days after Fables author Bill Willingham, whose work was adapted into Wolf Among Us, announced he had thrust the series into the public domain as a form of asymmetric warfare against DC Comics.
What?
Sentence continues. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Curious.
Wait, so someone else can... Well, they can't make the exact game series, but someone could do a sort of spin-offy thing.
It's a cool universe. Yeah. I do like it. I really like the first one. So there we are. Yes, and also I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed Mirage, which we're going to talk about right now in the review corner.
Mm.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Review Corner. It's Ben here with Ashton Matthews. Hello, Ashton Matthews.
Hello, Ben Potter. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. What a lovely corner it is.
It's so nice here.
Are you ready to talk about Assassin's Creed Mirage? But first, you've got to say the thing.
Oh, yes. Per ASA guidelines, this part of the podcast is technically an ad. However, no money was exchanged between us or Ubisoft to play this game. We were simply given a code.
Yes. Thank you, ASA.
Thank you, ASA,
for being
for that
sticklers for the rules.
Real quick and easy thing to say.
And thank you, Ubisoft, as well. Ashton, can you tell me what this game is?
I can. It is a prequel to Valhalla, which was the last Assassin's Creed game that was released. It stars Basim from that game. But it takes place in Baghdad as he, like, it's his origins, basically. How he becomes a hidden one, which is later becomes the Assassins. And he's trying to take down the Order, who are on the hunt for a bunch of relics that seem to be connected to all of the weird sci-fi stuff that is dispersed throughout all of the games.
Yes.
And he's trying to take them down and make sure that Baghdad is a peaceful place.
Yeah,
because
take
them
down,
doing...
make them pay.
Exactly. It's very similar to all the other Assassin's Creed games in the sense that you're like parkouring your way through a city, you're murdering and you're pickpocketing everything from people. It's a bit different to Valhalla, though. You've given it a few hours of play, so you know a little bit about it. But obviously Valhalla was very open, lots of like big fields and not many cities to explore, whereas this has one quite large city and then it has some desert all around it. It's very reminiscent of Origins in the way that it looks. Obviously we're not too far from Egypt, which is why it's quite similar looking in Baghdad. But yeah, it's very pretty looking in terms of the setting and the scenery. And there's lots of like flowers growing up all the buildings in the city, which is very nice. I do think some of the character animations are a bit weird. They're a bit dated, I think, in places. Like sometimes their faces don't quite move correctly, or they're just doing like a very generic face. There's not really much emotion behind them. But, you know, whoops, we've played Starfield. We've seen
generic
faces.
Apparently that's fine now.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's some new elements into the game. There is a, like a new pickpocketing. I can't say that.
Pickpottering
mini game where if you try to pickpocket someone, you have to wait for your diamond to get into their diamond so that you can pickpocket without being caught.
Yes.
Slash pickpocket
like
at all.
Like a little timed thing.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a different form of quests that I think we've not seen before where you have like a quest line and then there'll be things you have to go do to get clues to do this quest. It'll be things like, here's a map. Go. Do you know where to go in this map? And you're like, not yet. And then you have to do something else to be able to get a clue to go somewhere else. And they're doing that really annoying thing that Ubisoft seem to love to do where you have to use your mouse. You have to use your cursor like a mouse rather than it like popping from one thing to the other.
The Destiny menus.
I hate that. I hate that Destiny thought that was a good idea. Now we have to put up with it forever. There's also like this thing called the Assassin Focus, which is the thing people weren't very sure about, where at a certain point you can press R3, you can select a few people, it like increases if you do skill points, and then Bastion will kind of like teleport from one to the other and kill them. You unlock the ability kind of like after a main quest line. Yeah, you kind of, you press it, you select a bunch of people, and then he'll just stab, teleport, stab, teleport, stab, teleport.
How does he teleport?
I don't know.
Okay.
The way that they've kind of explained it outside of the game, because they've not really talked about why he can teleport in the game yet, is that his movements are too fast for the Animus. They can't keep up. So that's why he teleports.
Wow, he's just too sick for technology.
Exactly. Speaking of the Animus, there's been practically no mention of any of the future stuff that we've
that's so
seen
lovely
before.
There's a bit of voiceover in the intro, but that's kind
Desmond's
of it.
Dad gets a little bit of conversation, but that's about it really so far. I mean, obviously there's some sci-fi stuff going on. There's stuff that like is leading to, you know, what are the relics, what part of the weird alien race that lived here before are they gonna mention stuff,
whatever they're called. I can't remember what they're, the old ones or the forerunners or something.
I have no
like
idea
that.
There's like side quests and all that kind of thing. There's contracts that you have to do to get coins, and specific coins can be used to pay off merchants, musicians or mercenaries.
Yes, if you've been too naughty.
Yeah, well, not even that. Like if you're doing a main mission, there'll be like find ways to get in, and then you can use your bird to like pinpoint people around, and then you can go up to someone and be like, hello, will you help me? And they'll say, yeah, if you've got a coin. And if you've not got a coin, you just can't get the help. You have to find another way to do it. So there is normally, I think the most I've seen is two options of like, do you pay this guy or do you go and just like talk to these other people instead? I haven't got any coins because you have to get them by doing contracts, and I think I've done two contracts so far. And I haven't got any merchant coins and I haven't got any mercenary coins. I've only got ones I can give to musicians.
Okay.
And they're just kind of, they'll stand outside of a like fortress and they'll play the guitar or whatever. And one time I was like waiting for all the guards to go and get distracted. And I was just stood on one side of the wall. A guard jumps over a wall to come and see this musician play, spots me, and then I lose the thing, or like we can't be caught.
Do you hear that?
Caught.
It's music. Yeah. I think it's coming from over this wall.
And then he just falls in front of me and he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not even in the restricted area. Why am I in trouble now? But apparently I was close enough to the wall to be there. And then there's a thing called Tales of Baghdad, which are like things you can kind of find around the map. But you know what's really annoying about these is that you can get the mission, like you can pick it up, but then it doesn't come up on your like mission feed thing, so it doesn't tell you what you have to do.
Okay.
So there was one that was, this guy was being like, please find all of the pages to my book, and I'm like, where are they? And I'm wandering around, I can't figure out where I'm supposed to go, and then I finally see one on the roof of somewhere that then floats off somewhere else, and I can't like make this quest an active quest. And then it was just, I was getting really annoyed. I was like, why am I not allowed to select this and like track this quest? It's kind of silly, but those are, I've only found one so far, and I've been to like four different areas, so yeah, there's a few of those. And then the other, you know, the typical Assassin's Creed jank, like some of the parkouring. I feel like if you're not shouting at the character at least once every 5 minutes, you're not playing an Assassin's Creed
game. Very true. Yes,
you know, he's like jumping up a wall, or he's like falling down but not quite falling, and I'm like, what are you doing? Or he's not going the way I want him to. I feel like I can't believe that these things still happen in Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, and it is interesting because we've been in big open worlds for the past few games, and this is the first return to a more concentrated area, and it's really sort of showing that oh yeah, they didn't really iterate on that free-running all that much, did they? It's still kind of a bit wonky sometimes.
I played Assassin's Creed 2 like 2 months ago, and I still have very similar issues with the parkour now as I was having in Assassin's Creed 2. And I know that they can't like make every bit of parkour perfect, and it's like, you know, you can't have an entire map full of like perfect parkour moves and stuff, but it is frustrating sometimes. There's one specific like big rock that's made out of a bunch of bricks, and in my mind I can climb that with all the bricks that are poking
easy
out, but I have to go a specific place for Basim to climb up it, because apparently he can't just randomly pick out a rock and climb up it.
I had a similar thing. I was being followed by an NPC, and I went to climb up there was sort of like a, what's it called, like a flipping out, what am I trying to say, not stairs, a slope, that was like a wooden beam that was going up to a platform, and I was like, I'll just climb up on the platform bit, and Basim would jump all the way up to like just there, and then he'd go, nah, that's too high, and the guy I was with was just, are we going up here, and he just hopped up. I was like, why can't you do that? Why can't you do that? Yeah. That's exactly what I was trying to do.
Yeah. I also, me and Kieran got stuck behind the same ladder.
Oh, really?
Kieran sent a video last night of his character like stuck behind a ladder in like a training area that you get sent to quite early on. And I was like, that is literally the same ladder that I managed to get stuck on the other side of and had to like just keep jumping until it released me. And like some of the dialogue sounds really stilted and like strange. Like when you talk to a merchant, they'll be like, hello, how are you? And he'll be like, peace be with you. And I'm like, what's happening? Why are we having this weird conversation? Yeah. I'm uncomfortable.
Well, this is it now. Ubisoft have got AI to write NPC dialogue, haven't they?
They have.
So this might be it.
It's what the robots think we say.
Yes.
I quite like that sometimes they just speak in Arabic. Occasionally they'll just be talking to each other in Arabic, or they'll just use Arabic words, which is nice.
Yes.
But yeah, some of the dialogue recording is just weird. And part of me thinks, like, if you told me, oh yeah, they're AI voices, I would almost believe you, because they just sound so strange.
Right, it's just a bit flat.
Yeah. And sometimes the stealth is a bit jank. Like, I'll be somewhere and I can see that they're not looking at me, and suddenly they're like, hey, you over there. And I'm like, what do you mean? I've not done anything.
I'm just hiding in these bushes. I don't understand.
Exactly. But yeah, I think if you liked the original Assassin's Creed games, that's very much a return to form of that. Like, there's not massive open world sections. There is like a big wilderness area, but even then, like, that area doesn't take very long to traverse at all. Like, it's like 1,000 meters. You get on a horse, you're going to be there really quick. So
yeah.
I think that, like, it's nice to have a slightly smaller map to explore. I like the fact that we're roaming around a city. That's so much more interesting to me than just, here's our field in England. And I just think it's a nice return to form. And if you like the first Assassin's Creed, it might scratch that itch. I don't necessarily think the story or the characters are particularly compelling or interesting, but it does play like an Assassin's Creed game. So
it does. I've only played a tiny bit of it, and I've liked what I've played so far. It does remind me of the older games.
Yes.
I will say, like, I'm gonna eat my words here a little bit, eat my own hat, because the day that they stop making Assassin's Creed games quite regularly, I think I'll miss them.
Yeah.
Even though for the longest time I've been like, bloody Ubisoft releasing an Assassin's Creed game every year or every 2 years, and they're only getting bigger, and we can't do, and they've given us this, and it's taken a little while to come out, and it's like, yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be sad when they're gone, because I have a feeling that we won't be getting these forever, even though it felt like we would. But the one angle that I do quite like is that because it is a Basim origin story, he has literally just joined the Assassins. And the Assassins are plentiful. Like, in the other games, it doesn't feel like you meet all that many Assassins, whereas here, there are Assassins bloody everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's quite refreshing. That's quite a nice change of pace. You know, they're in force.
Yeah.
And one thing that you can see in your menu is like your rank within the Assassins, and it starts off and you're basically baby assassin. So I'm looking forward to playing more of the story and seeing how, you know, Basim rises up the ranks and what happens with that, and when does he go off to England to see Eivor. One of them.
I think it's good, because the map like leads you around. You can go certain areas when you're an assassin, like apprentice or initiate. There's like different, like obviously like the difficulty level, but it's not kind of a level up in the sense of like you naturally level up by just like doing quests. I think as in like just doing other stuff. Mm. I think you level up in the story. So it's kind of like you do this next bit of the story and then maybe you'll become an apprentice rather than it being like done a bunch of stuff and now you're top level and you've not done any of the storylines. Mm. So, yeah.
Also, you do level up.
You do level
and
up.
And the skill tree. Oh, it's so lovely.
It's so small.
It's such a small skill tree and that's so nice. There's like three paths and they're linear and it's like, this is great. Yeah. This is, can we go back to
and
this,
you get
please?
Skills actual quite things. Often as well. Like,
and the things you spend them on are actual rewards as well.
Yeah,
you know, it's
it
good stuff. So if you're an Assassin's Creed fan, a recommendation?
Yes, I would say so, yeah. Excellent. Like I say, I don't know if it's going to keep everyone's attention for as long as I think maybe they would have liked it to, but I do think it is a good entry in the series and I do think it is going to scratch the original fans of the game their riches for an Assassin's Creed game.
Fantastic. Well, Assassin's Creed Mirage is out right now on pretty much everything, I think. Probably not Switch.
Not Switch.
So you can go and get it. I believe it's on PS4 and Xbox One as well on the older consoles. So you can go and give that a go right now. It's available. Thank you, Ubisoft, for sending us a code. Mm-hmm. Should we go back to the podcast?
Yes, lads. Well, it's time for question two now. Wasn't that a delightful review corner, eh?
Yeah, thanks, I had a Ashton. Great time. Thanks, Ashton.
No problem. This question comes from David Lever. Hello, ABP. There's been a recent controversy surrounding this collectibles maker, Gaming Heads, and their decision to destroy a load of products, including unshipped orders, apparently at the behest of Sony. What did ABAP think about this? And do you think it's better for developers to partner with expert third parties to create side products or to try to keep things in-house for simplicity's sake? If you've not seen this, they are a statue maker, a collectible maker, and their statues range from $17 to $2,000. And they do a bunch of different
things.
That's
more than a car.
It is more than a car.
Can't deny that.
And so they've had a bunch of orders that they've just decided to cancel. And then they put a statement out that is interesting. And then you see the replies to their tweet and it gets even more interesting. On this, The Last of Us Day, we regret to inform you that Sony PlayStation that Sony has told us to destroy all of our Sony PlayStation merchandise, including in-stock items from The Last of Us Part 2, Ellie statues, Jack statues, God of War statues, busts, etc. Items ready to ship to you, like Sly Cooper Statue Edition, items in production, and items in development and ready to launch. Yes, that also includes destroying items that you've paid for and are waiting to ship to you. All of our other items are fine and not affected by Sony PlayStation's decisions. We've worked with Sony PlayStation for more than 10 years to bring you some of the best video game collectibles and have been trying hard to get them to change their mind. They know you have paid your hard-earned money for the items that are ready to ship to you or that are in production, but unfortunately, after doing all that we can, they have told us not to ship your orders to you. Our business priorities remain unchanged, was a recent direct quote from Sony, apparently. Yes, this is Sony PlayStation's decision, not ours. We want to ship you your busts, but Sony PlayStation does not allow it. They've already received royalty payments from your orders that Sony PlayStation now want us to destroy and not ship to you. We sincerely apologise if you find yourself in this completely avoidable situation, but please contact Judy Ward, which is the commercial partnerships manager, and then they've given her email out in this statement.
This is their contact at Sony.
Yeah. About your now cancelled orders, payments, refunds, etc., and what they will do for you. This is a team at Sony PlayStation that require the destruction of items that you have ordered, paid for, and on which Sony PlayStation have already received royalties from you, but will now not allow us to ship orders to you. Then they basically say that Sony PlayStation's old tagline that they are for the players, but given their recent decision that they know adversity affects those in the collecting community willing to spend more on Sony PlayStation merchandise than the actual console, we are now not so sure.
That's true.
They've cancelled a bunch of the orders, but they've also told them to destroy any that are already ordered. And then people replying to the tweets being like, but I've already paid for my thing. They've been like, as we've said many, many, many times, this is Sony's decision. We will endeavour to get the money back to you if we can. So there's kind of, it's a big drama, big old drama.
Hmm. Sony has yet to comment on this.
No.
And there's the more you look into this, the fact that that email or that tweet reads extremely unprofessionally. They would just out their contact at Sony like that. Mm-hmm. Sort of sets off some alarm bells, like this doesn't seem right, and perhaps there's a reason why Sony are cutting ties.
A lot of their replies to replies to that tweet did not scream professional, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah. You had a look at their Trustpilot.
Yeah, do you want to hear some Trustpilot reviews for this website? They currently have a 1.8 out of 5, and they have 89% of their reviews are 1 star. Mm-hmm. Just awful, says Scott Pilgrim. Wow. I've been collecting statues for almost 10 years. I have well over 40 plus statues and figures. This is by far the absolute worst company that I have ever had to deal with. Their customer service is trash. Every time I submit a ticket, I have to hope they respond to me. My payments always fail for specific orders, even though other orders go through just fine. And the payments are so irregular. It feels like they literally only take payments from me when they want to. Do not recommend. Jeff Meyer says, 1 star, against my better judgment, I did not. That's the subtitle, and then he says it again. Heed the warning of others and went ahead and tried to order from the website. As soon as I entered my credit card information, I was met with a suspicious activity notification from my bank. Nervous I had been scammed, I went ahead and cancelled my order. I was charged immediately and the order hasn't even shipped. I tried reaching out to customer support to ask why I've been charged and when I can expect a refund, but no answer. I've cancelled my card and will be filing a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. No matter how much you want to order from this website, don't. Another 1 star review from Simone. Scammers, they keep your money and run. It's almost a month that I am battling with their customer support. An order was cancelled and I should have received a refund. They only sent part of it and the rest is nowhere to be seen. I have received only half of my money back and they keep saying they sent everything. Take your business elsewhere. Awful customer service and very steep prices for the quality offered. It goes on like that. Lots of 1 stars.
Someone replied to their tweet saying, I ordered something in October 2020 and I'm still waiting on it.
One of the replies on Twitter was like something they had ordered in 2016 or something. Yeah. It was still hadn't come out. So you're starting to get at the picture
here
that potentially Sony said, hey, you guys are making us look really bad.
Yeah.
We are revoking your right to use our license. Mm-hmm. You legally now have to destroy that stuff. And a lot of people are replying to their tweet and rightfully pointing out that, hey, you can't send us to the license holder to get a refund.
Yeah.
You're the people who sold it to us. Mm. Someone from Germany there, who, and obviously they have very strict laws about this kind of stuff, rightly pointed out that you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you do not refund people because the contractual obligation is with you because you sold it to us, etc. So yeah, this sucks for everyone who had something pre-ordered, but it from the reviews that we're seeing and the reaction that you know that they've had by posting this seemingly very unprofessional statement, mm-hmm. you sort of get an idea of what the story is.
Yeah, as you say, putting a Sony contact to say, well, if you want your refund, best contact them, is just that is it not only massively unprofessional to just put someone's email out like that, but it also makes no sense because the money is with you. So why are you...
I think they're trying to do it because Sony take payments of royalties straight from the payments. So I assume that they're saying that... They keep saying, we're going to try and get them, like, give you your refunds back, even if Sony don't give us our money back. I think that they're hoping that if people pester this woman enough, that they'll give them the money back that, like, Sony takes.
But they're probably... Contractually, they're probably, like... They're probably well within their rights to have taken that money.
Yeah.
Sony wouldn't make a move here. I wouldn't have thought that they would then have to back out.
Well, this is the other thing, is that, you know, I've seen some people say, like, even if this company is you know, not performing as Sony wants, like, Sony shouldn't just, like, overnight suddenly, you know, say, destroy everything.
Well, you're
not, but that won't be what's happened.
No.
I think Sony's probably been contacting this company for weeks or months, mm-hmm. saying, look, you really need to, like, book your ideas up. Like, we've given you a license and look at all this, like, performance. If you don't improve by X date, what we are going to do is you will have to destroy everything, including orders. So, like, they will have had warning. It's not like they've suddenly gone, like, oh, but, like, they didn't even let us, like, they're not even let us fulfill orders that have been made. It's like, well, they probably told you in good time, if we are forced to tell you to destroy everything and revoke your license, that will also apply to orders that are, you know, that have been made. So,
well, I think that's very strange. Like, they've been like, oh, well, we're stopping selling these. They'll still, you know, finish the orders. I think it's very strange they've been told to destroy things that are currently ordered. If they're could be that it's such an acrimonious
split that it's maybe. Like that's you, I mean, you, yeah. that's it. You've squandered this, and you do not. We don't want anything. You, even if you have stock, we don't want you to sell it. You don't have the right anymore. Get rid of it.
And it will be in the agreement, probably. That well, I say probably, almost certainly will be in the agreement that they've made that like Sony reserve the right to say if there's a massive breach, we can tell you overnight to do that because otherwise. Sony wouldn't do it because it wouldn't be legal to do so.
Yeah. But to answer the second part of your question, David, regarding whether they should be sent out to third parties or to try and keep them in-house, I think it's good that third-party distributors are given the opportunity to make this kind of stuff. I think that, I mean, some people, I don't know if they have the licenses. You know when, like, you see Final Fantasy VII, like, busts and it's, like, Tifa bent over?
Sure,
right.
You know, like
I have a feeling that those might be official, though.
Well, that's right.
Like I have a feeling. Unfortunately, I think those might be real.
They know what people
are also thinking about. But there's like sometimes we see things you're like a bit sexy, and you think, do you have to have a license for that, or have you just made that? You know what I mean?
Is it a Japanese game? Really, is the question.
But see, like when like we Kat sent Philip a Leon Kennedy candle.
Yeah,
and it's like. Have you just made that yourself? How do you not get sued?
I think so, but, you can do stuff like Etsy's a wild west, isn't it?
But I think it's good that third-party distributors are given the opportunity to make gaming merch or collectible stuff because it just adds more variety into what you can get. Because if it's just up to Sony, they'll be like, would you like £500 statue? That's all you get on it. But like, I like, obviously, there's merch that goes out to like, you know, insert coin, for example.
Yeah, or like, what is it, four players or four gamers? Like, do a lot of PlayStation stuff you see in supermarkets.
For figures as well.
Yeah, a lot of Crash and Spyro. Ones, like, if you go to Tesco, for example, you see Assassin's Creed pajamas. Or you'll see an Xbox-branded pencil case.
Yeah.
And that won't be made by Xbox, so... But it is official.
Yeah. So I think it's not a bad thing to send it out to other people and give them the license to make stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously it does, if it results in something like this, which is not very common, then obviously there is a downside.
If you do, if it's so premium, you want to make sure you have the right partner.
Yeah, exactly. it's a bad apple, unfortunately, and that might make someone be quite reactionary and say like, oh, well, maybe like these companies should just do their own stuff and not give it to third parties. It's like, well, no, like I think as long as... It's with good companies and, you know, maybe they need to do a bit more research, a bit more, you know, wait until someone's proved themselves. But somebody's got a track record of having sold, you know, they've not yet done a deal with Sony, but they've been selling, Activision game characters or Ubisoft or something. And like they've been doing a really good job. Then Sony might go, oh, yeah, OK, well, you can have our license too. But yeah, it's unfortunate in this case that this has happened. But yeah, I think third parties can do a good job and should be allowed to do a good job.
Yep. I agree. Shall we do something a little strange?
Yes, let's.
Something about the news?
Oh, sure. It's time for weird news.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. If you'd like to submit some weird gaming news to us, you can do so on the relevant social media platform when we put the post out on a
Tuesday.
However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to become a podcast producer by going to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and signing up at the appropriate tier. Just like
G.Y. Goliath,
Nicole Hansen,
Duncan Wilson,
Katie Garrido Jarrett,
Eric Siu,
Potato Shack 99,
Melody L. Bonnet,
Nexus Polaris,
Gabrielle Philippink,
Blake Thomas,
Janet Wicks.
Wicks. And Nicholas Rice.
Nicholas Rice.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers. Thank you so much. Peter, you got some news there for
us. I have. It was submitted by Leloyd Williams on Facebook, who I think may have been a top fan. I didn't actually take notes.
Sounds like a top fan to me.
I recognize the name. That's a top fan.
According to Kotaku.com, written by Ethan Gach, the sort of second in command for weird news.
Are we tolerating Luke yet?
Isn't he left?
Because he was naughty. I don't know. I haven't seen any articles by Luke Plunkett for a long time.
I thought he left. Yeah.
And also I don't follow him on Twitter anymore, so I don't know what he's doing.
No, I don't know. FBI indicts Wall Street banker for doing crimes on Xbox 360.
Doing crimes.
A banker doing crimes.
Unheard of.
A former Goldman Sachs trader allegedly used Xbox chat to share insider tips.
Oh my God, how stupid.
Yeah. Here we go. A newly unsealed FBI indictment accuses a former analyst at Goldman Sachs of insider trading, including allegedly using an Xbox to pass tips on to his close friends. The friend group earned over $400,000 in ill-gotten gains as a result, federal prosecutors claim. There's no tracing Xbox 360 chat, the analyst allegedly told his friend, who was worried they might be discovered.
In a chat that was obviously traced.
Yeah.
He appears to have made a grave miscalculation.
I don't understand stocks and trading. Like,
it all seems like crimes, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Even legally,
wrong.
It seems like crimes.
The FBI arrested Anthony Vigiano and alleged, you have to say it like that.
Do you?
Yeah. And alleged co-conspirator Christopher Salamone, charging them with securities fraud on September 28th. Mm-hmm. Vigiano is accused of using his previous position at Goldman Sachs to share trading tips with Salamone and others.
So you're not allowed to talk, like, to give advice to people?
Well, it's not advice, though. It's like, it's a bit like, I think it's a bit like throwing...
Oh, I've heard that this stock's going
to
go
yeah,
up.
Yeah, oh, so you may want to invest in this, by the way. Right. There's going to be an acquisition tomorrow. It's the stuff that Yuji Naka got.
Right.
Know, Sonic's dad got thrown away for.
It's a bit like throwing a boxing match, like telling everyone to bet against you and then...
Is it like what happened to GameStop?
No.
Okay.
But if you ask us what it was, we wouldn't be able to tell you.
We can tell you what it is.
But it isn't that. But
okay,
it,
cool.
There's a film about it now. We should all just go and watch that.
Yeah.
Bloomberg reports this is the fifth incident in recent years of a person associated with the investment bank allegedly using their position to do crimes, it says again.
Stop doing crimes.
I don't think there's any further mention of Xbox 360. It sounds like at least some of this insider info was shared on Microsoft's high-tech, ultra-secure gaming platform. And now the article is... it's working again.
Okay.
Signal or like Xbox 360 chat, there's no tracing that. Good luck ever finding that, Vigiani allegedly told Salamone.
What's his gamer tag? Do we know?
No.
It's not crime. Doing crime. 69.
So, I mean, at worst, we're talking worst case scenario. Maybe I said something in like the very first message to Steve, but that's the worst case. Is what he said again? It's not scrolling anymore. Like Kotaku's.
Well, then let's just speculate wildly. Do you reckon he had to exhaustively type that out using the D-pad, or he bought one of those accessories where he could type in a little keyboard?
I think he did a D-pad.
You reckon?
No, I reckon
be there for hours.
He used the stick, to move it like a cursor.
Type with the stick.
Yeah. I think they did it just while playing Halo Reach multiplayer. Just over voice chat.
Yeah, if anything, do it over voice chat. Like, if you're
not
just,
now because
not
they're
now,
recording
that's
that stuff
a crime.
Now.
Don't do crime.
Don't do crimes.
But yeah, do it over voice chat if you're gonna do it.
Come on.
Dummy.
Or like just meet up
Just have a chat. Yeah. Under a bay. Under a bridge.
Yeah.
In trench coats.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
In nothing a multi-story car park. Yes. Just sexy trench coat crimes.
Just give some insider and information and then go. So there you go. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed that information.
Flash.
anyway, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm hearing about new stocks that are happening. Yeah. Yeah.
No one's going to come over to two guys just wearing trench coats to find out what they're doing.
Just bumping wangs in the corner of the car park doing crimes. It's fine.
Yeah.
Which actually, no, that is a crime. You could probably be arrested for that as much as the finance.
I think if you're not flashing someone, like if you're just wearing a coat with nothing underneath, as long as you're not showing everyone that you're not wearing anything underneath.
Yeah, that's technically legal, it's not a crime. I guess.
You're still covered up.
That's true. Where do the decency laws end?
It's no different than a woman wearing a dress with nothing underneath.
That's disgusting. Right to jail.
Yeah.
Straight to jail.
Maybe if they'd both worn dresses with nothing underneath.
Yeah, maybe that would have been fine.
Yeah. It's confusing, isn't it? Mm. So, what's legal and what isn't?
Who knows?
Not that.
No.
Is the answer.
But the GameStop thing was.
Yes. Until the ones that usually make all the money, that were losing the money, said, hey, stop that. Mm. And then it did stop. And that feels illegal.
Yeah.
And I think it was. But nothing's been done. Or has it? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It's weird. It's just like a video game, but with actual money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lot of squidgels.
Exactly.
We got Ashton.
I have some news from Jonathan Wong, top fan. It comes from timeextension.com by Jack Yarwood. And guess what, guys?
It's random.
Been a while.
Rotted skull of 3DO Doom's cyber demon sells on eBay for over $1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Rotted
this
skull.
This thing is horrible. Would you like to see a picture?
Yes, please.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
and presumably it used to look like a cyber demon.
Yeah.
With flesh on.
So rotted. It's the plastic. The plastic's perished,
rotted off. Okay. The cyber demon / Baron of Hell's skull, constructed for global effects for 3DO Doom's missing FMV cutscenes, has just sold on eBay for over $1,000. Proving that one man's rotted fiberglass head is another man's treasure.
I didn't know there were missing FMV cutscenes.
Me neither.
In case you've never heard the story, the creation of Doom 3DO was mired in development issues, with the CEO of Art Data, the company responsible for the 1995 port, promising a string of new features in the media while misleading its programmer Rebecca Heinemann on just how much work needed to be done to get it to market. This led the poor programmer, who had initially only been brought on to finish the project, to have to develop an entire brand new port in just 10 weeks, dropping many of the additions the CEO had promised consumers. Chief among them was the addition of live-action cutscenes, which featured the use of professionally made cyber demon suits. So this is what it should look like.
Oh, that's arguably looks worse.
That's horrible.
Oh,
blimey.
So sorry.
Just smacked the mic off.
The skull of the cyber demon has become a little worse for wear over the years, with the foam latex rotting away, leaving behind only the fiberglass skull and horns. Nevertheless, this hasn't stopped an individual named Twist C from nabbing the head in a recent eBay auction for over $1,000 for its historical value. Then Twist C messaged them, informing them of the purchase. That's them as in the time extension. I just acquired the helmet via a busy auction. I was sniped on the auction and was down and out, and then a few days later I was given the offer at the second highest bidder, as the first one didn't pay. I know like five 3DO collectors who would have threw way more money at it than I did, but every one of them had car payments and other stuff, so I lucked out.
It does seem quite cheap for such a significant relic, doesn't it? Yeah.
This one's so gross.
That really picture's horrible. What would you do with it? It's a weird shape.
Would you mount it over your fireplace
That's
or
horrible.
Something?
It's the teeth, the like weirdly fleshy teeth.
Mm, shiny.
Apparently, they do not intend to restore it back to its former glory, but would rather keep it as it is to preserve its authenticity.
Mm. Cool.
God, it's just vile.
It's really hideous.
That's what happens to all the old, anything made of foam that you loved in the 1980s and 90s, Otis the Aardvark, he looks like that now, unfortunately.
I also like that it's...
Mr. Blobby.
Like the inside of the Rules Boss hat. We know it's starting to happen to that as well.
It's perishing.
Mm. I like that the skull is placed on top of a CRT TV next to a PlayStation 2 with a bunch of like teddy bears on top of it.
Mm. Yeah, stuff. So is that it in the owner's home?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought 3DO collectors would live way better than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they spend all their money on 3DO stuff.
Like, it needs to be in like a case or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. On a plinth.
Safe.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
That's weird.
It is weird.
I have got some weird news. This comes courtesy of three people on Twitter. Aaron Akaski, it's very hot in New Mexico, and Cameron Keywood. This is an article from Kotaku by Isaiah Colbert. WWE's Randy Orton paid someone $1,000 to level up his Elden Ring character.
Oh, this was the article that kept getting submitted last night. And when I turned on Twitter, they'd got rid of all the links. I just thought someone was just sending us pictures.
Yeah, just loads of pictures of Randy Orton.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's like, what's going on?
It's no secret that the crossover between video games and professional video games and professional wrestling, be it through the hilarious signs fans bring to events or the intricate wardrobes stars wear into the ring, is a strong one. As such, it's hardly surprising to learn that WWE's Randy Orton is an avid gamer who plays Elden Ring on his tour bus between events and once paid someone buku bucks to help him level up his character.
Buku bucks.
He could have gotten a rotting skull for that.
Is that some kind of Bitcoin?
A buku buck. Yes, I'll give you 12 buku bucks. In a recent broadcast from The Insiders, a behind-the-scenes wrestling live-stream Twitch channel hosted by the former WWE tag team duo Brennan Williams and Mansoor Al-Shahail, a.k.a. formerly Marseille and Mansoir, the pair revealed that Orton once approached them before an episode of Monday Night Raw to tell them how much he enjoys playing From Software's brutal yet beautiful open action role-playing game.
Didn't we know this? Haven't we had an article about how much he loved Elden Ring before?
I think so, but yeah, like, not that he paid money else. However, Orton's affinity for the hellish open-world Soulsborne game didn't necessarily derive from the grind its early act demanded out of players to survive its punishing early boss fights. In fact, Orton disliked having to level up so much that he opted to avoid it entirely by paying someone $1,000 to give him a bunch of runes, which act as the game's currency and experience points, so that he could level up his character immediately. Yeah, it's flipping hard. I paid a guy $1,000 to give me infinite runes so I could level up to 100 right away, Orton said.
1,000 buku bucks?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for some runes.
Williams chimed in, adding that Orton told them, I love that game though, it's awesome, but no, I couldn't deal with that bull flip, so I just paid a guy to give me a bunch of runes. Here's a dramatic reinterpretation of that conversation from the Insider's official TikTok. I'm not going to play that. And then it goes on to talking about how hard Elden Ring is and where you can play it. So there we are. Weird. Randy Orton, pay to win aficionado. He's got the money for it.
Yeah.
Plus the thing, it is a lot of money, but then also if you're a superstar.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, $1,000.
Yeah.
I could have done that for him.
Yeah.
It's so easy to save scum in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, drop the runes to a friend, they back up their save. You back up your save, you redone it, you drop it back and forth. Like that.
How did this person get in contact with Randy Orton?
They definitely were selling them on eBay, and he was just like,
$1,000.
$1,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, and like I say, you know you can, but whoever walked away with that $1,000, buku bucks, they're going to be like,
does Liza P have multiplayer?
No. Unfortunately.
You could have got in touch with Randy and
got some buku bucks. Yeah. Hey, Randy. Hey,
got any more buku
bucks? He's not wrestling at the moment, so maybe you're playing Liza P and I could drop you some ergo in exchange for buku bucks. Yes. just 200 buku bucks. There we are. That's my weird news. Thank you, everyone, for submitting your weird news. Shall we move on to the big discussion?
Yes.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion, which this week comes courtesy of Cameron Keywood. Thank you, Cameron. Hi, Bap. While it's never been a more exciting time to be a gamer, it seems like there has never been a worse time to be a game developer, as many studios have recently announced layoffs. Even before the pandemic, the video game sector was hailed as larger than combined film music industries. Post-pandemic, it has continued to thrive, with the UK gaming market alone estimated at over £7 billion. However, in the last month alone, seven studios have cut jobs, with UK publisher Team 17 and Naughty Dog being the latest examples as of writing. Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney revealed in a public email that they had overspent on investments in Fortnite's growth, making layoffs necessary, and that they want to embrace the metaverse. Why do you think these layoffs keep happening? Is it just pure greed by corpo bigwigs, or are there other reasons? Kind regards, Cameron J. Keywood. I've got a few examples, and this isn't even all of the layoffs that we've had recently. No. So here we go, from Eurogamer. Today, Sega announced it had cancelled Hyenas in a financial update. It blamed the decision on lower profitability of the European region, which had caused it to review its project portfolio. The resulting action will be to cancel Hyenas and some unannounced titles under development, Sega wrote. Then we go to Creative Assembly's Twitter. The developers of Hyenas trainers, we have made the incredibly difficult decision to begin a redundancy consultation process in some areas of our UK operations alongside ending development of hyenas. We have always aimed to operate as a people-first studio that is foundational to our values and culture. While we must go through this incredibly difficult process, we will prioritise supporting our people at every step. Then we go to Kotaku. Epic Games Inc., the company behind global mega-hit Fortnite, the Epic Game Store, and the wildly popular Unreal Engine, is laying off 16% of its current workforce. This report, first coming from Bloomberg's Jason Schreier, sees almost 900 employees losing their jobs.
Jason Schreier is always in the mix, isn't he?
He's always there. He's the guy.
He's always there with the drama.
A couple of additional points to raise here in relation to this one. Epic Games has announced plans to increase the price of Fortnite V-Bucks and some real money content packs. And Fortnite brings back share the wealth emote on same day as mass layoffs. We then go to Eurogamer. Team 17's company restructure is expected to see layoffs across the business, Eurogamer now understands, on top of deep cuts to the company's QA department, reported yesterday. The Verge. Naughty Dog is reportedly cutting some of its contracted staff. According to a Kotaku report, the Sony-owned studio is not renewing the contracts of around 25 temporary workers across numerous departments, with quality assurance staff primarily affected. Full-time staff were apparently not impacted. I've also taken a few screenshots here from the, if you search layoff on gamesindustry.biz, I'm going to have to read it up close because it's tiny. Activision, this is from the past couple of weeks. Activision Blizzard reportedly cuts 10 from Hearthstone team. Roblox lays off 30 staff. Crystal Dynamics, his latest Embracer studio to suffer layoffs. Beamdog lays off 26 employees. Ascendant Studios lays off about 45% of its workforce.
Wasn't there another one that closed down this week?
I think so, yeah. I haven't got that in my list. Yeah. But obviously our thoughts are with all the affected staff. This is obviously awful. And it does seem to happen like this every year, but it really... The past couple of weeks have been nuts.
It's been like every day someone's sending a new thing being like, oh, look, more layoffs. And it's kind of, we're all kind of saying like, we don't know what's going on, but we feel like everyone knows something that we don't know.
Well, it's like they're preparing for some like COVID 2 or something, you know?
The thing is, it's important to know, I mean, this doesn't necessarily, the fact is the layoffs are happening either way, but it's, in terms of timing, it's important to note that the fiscal year in America ends on the 30th of September. Mm-hmm. It starts on the 1st of October. So the reason that perhaps a lot of these are all happening at the same time might be because, you know, people are sitting down, looking at the accounts, looking at what's happening in the coming financial year, and therefore making those decisions here and now. But that aside, even if these have been spread across the whole of 2023, it still would have been like, man, it's been a bit of a rough year, 2023, hasn't it, for layoffs? Mm. So the timing is only part of the story. And the fact is that a lot of layoffs have happened this fiscal year. Mm. So, I mean, you know, Cameron asked the question, why do you think this is happening? Is it corpo bigwigs or other reasons? I think probably it's going to vary case to case. I mean, Epic Games give their reason as they overspent and they want to invest in the metaverse for some reason.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's not a thing.
But so that might be their reason, but I can't imagine that every one of these other companies has overspent. They might have had, you know, less revenue, or they're changing tact in terms of like what they want to develop in future.
And they're part of Embracer.
Or they're part of Embracer, and Embracer's like, oh, whoops, we own too much.
Embracer Group is absolutely the fault of corporate bigwigs.
Yeah.
Like that's
corpo greed, right?
Yeah. When it's like Crystal Dynamics are getting rid of a bunch of employees.
They only just bought them.
They literally just got bought, and then Embracer Group were like,
sorry, the Saudis didn't give us $2 billion, so you're going to have to fire some people.
Yeah.
Bastards.
So it's going to vary case by case, but it is just, it's a shame to hear, isn't it? Worse than a shame to hear.
It's awful.
I do hope that it's not indicative of like an actual
crash
or crisis kind of coming within the industry. It might just be that, unfortunately, a lot of companies happen to have made some pretty poor decisions this year, or maybe there's some financial phenomenon that says like X number of years after something like COVID, you tend to have this happen. I don't know why it's all happening to a lot of people.
The hyenas one is the craziest one for me, because that game was so close to release and they've just been like, I'm going to pull the plug on that. Yeah. And that is a live service game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that highlights the danger of putting all your eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I feel like we've seen a lot of like a rise of live service games. And it does feel like every time we see one, something bad shall follow. Yeah. It's like a bad omen. Mm. Obviously, for Fortnite being like the optimum live service game. And if that's struggling, then it only goes to show that like everywhere else is also going to struggle, because Fortnite is so successful and so big and has made so much money that if they're having to make layoffs, then what hope has anyone else got?
I think it probably is partly that they are still printing money.
Yeah, but I was going to say struggling is a relative term. Well, no, but you've got to bear in mind that the case of Epic in this story is that they are in a far better situation than many of the others, and they absolutely could have kept this staff on.
Been more sensible.
You see the amount of money that some of these CEOs are making and how much they're worth. If they took even a small pay cut, they'd be able to cover the wages of everyone.
It's like Nintendo. Oh, I forgot what his name is now. I'm just left my mind. The CEO of Nintendo.
Doug Bowser.
No. He's not the CEO of Nintendo.
He's America.
The CEO of Nintendo.
Okay.
He took a pay cut when they didn't.
Yes, he did. Was that Iwata back in the day? Yeah.
And I do think that, like, there's some solace in a lot of these numbers are not huge numbers. Like, we're not seeing, like, you know, 50% of the workforce being sacked. There is obviously, if you're someone who's been affected by it, I'm not going to, like, minimize it. It's obviously a horrible thing to go through. But when you see numbers like 10 people have been fired or 25 contracts have been ended, it doesn't feel as bad as if you see 600 people have been affected.
Or a full closure, exactly.
Mm. Like, it's kind of, at this point, the numbers are small, and I would like it to stay like that so there's not so many people out there without jobs. Obviously, Drio Cozzi lives, you know? But yeah, I'm glad the numbers aren't too big.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. It is awful. Yeah. And our thoughts do go out to those affected. If anyone's listening who is affected, I have seen a lot of stuff on social media, which has been quite nice.
Yeah.
A lot of studios saying, hey, give us a shout. I think TT Games, who make the Lego video games, have some openings and they were advertising those. Mm-hmm. Like, come, you know, drop us a line. We're looking for these positions and stuff. As you said, Peter, the reasoning does vary from place to place. And it could be, in some instances, understood as corporate greed with Embracer. And then other places, it is just, unfortunately, the state of the industry. And you're right in that maybe it is so many years post-COVID that this happens, because we are having a lot of games that have required a lot of people to work on finally release. And unfortunately, this does tend to happen at the end of projects, is that the studios build up a lot of staff when they're in full production. And then when it comes to the end, they don't need those staff anymore. Mm. And that is not a good approach.
No.
But it is what happens.
But it's the same thing as you were saying earlier about games that take maybe 1 to 2 years to turn around versus games that take 8 years to flesh out a new one. This also affects things, because these 8 years aren't going to have an entire team the entire time.
Yeah,
so you have people going into a team during pre-production and then leaving because there's no work for them anymore, because the studio knows we're not going to work on another game until this one's done, so we don't need you anymore. Exactly. So this is another issue with the big turnover time that we're seeing in a lot of games, is that people have having to wait longer times between starting new games, which does affect who they need to hire and who they need to have in their team.
Yeah, there is a reason that some people are let go over others. You know, QA is always at the bottom of the rung there. Again, that's always just been how that is. Contractors being let go, I suppose, to an extent makes sense, because they're not full-time staff. Mm-hmm. So they are, you know, disposable. And it's awful, because these are people who need work. But that, unfortunately, that's the nature of the work they're doing,
contract,
is that they're only brought in for a small amount of time. But, it, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this that is kinder to people. Because I've been reading, I mean, we've been covering video games for a long time, but I've been reading a lot of books recently from people. I know, from people who have worked in the industry or work in the industry, and their experience. Jason Schreier's two books are really interesting on that particular topic. And they're just so tired because they work such crazy hours, and then their job could just be terminated after 6 months, and they move halfway across the country for it. You know, it's a bad situation. And the solution, I'm not saying, because there will be instances where companies do not need a full complement of staff the entire time. I don't know what the solution will be, but in terms of protecting staff from being just cut off at the drop of a hat, it's unionization. That's how that happens. That's how workers are protected. And no, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that, I don't know, Naughty Dog needs 200 QA staff at all times, but that's when you can, you know, that's when you get freelancers or contractors in for to work for a small period. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have been working at these companies for ages, and then Epic goes, we're not making as much money from V-Bucks this financial quarter, so we're going to lay off 14% of our workforce like that.
Yeah. But our CEOs are still fine, and they've had a big bonus.
Yes, they have had a huge bonus. Yeah. So there's just got to be, I don't know what it is, but there has to be a better way to do this, to keep... To look after the human element of this.
I mean, that's the same with everything in the media industry at the moment. Like, the fact that VFX workers have recently unanimously voted to unionize is a great thing, because the same way that game devs get treated like plops, so do VFX workers.
Yes.
And like we've said this before, when it's been down to like people being treated rubbish, that the only way that an individual worker can gain power back on the CEOs at the top is by joining as part of a union and becoming a bigger force to be reckoned with. That, you know, Ubisoft has a union now, Activision Blizzard has a union now, and admittedly they're still fighting for these things to change, but at least you've got someone in your corner fighting for
exactly.
you. Whereas in these kind of situations, unless, you know, it's a contract violation, which they know how to get around, then you've not really got anyone fighting for you. So
yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes the CEOs are making terrible decisions. Sometimes it's greed. And sometimes the project that you decided to go all in on just didn't work out. And unfortunately, that results in a studio closure. And it's awful for everyone involved every time. But once again, I hope you land on your feet. At this point, it feels like because of all these mass layoffs happening, we're losing like 200 staff from this place and they're going to another place. And then those... And then 200 staff leave from that place. And it feels like these people are just being swapped around.
Yeah.
And that is no way to live. That's no way to make a living, you know, the uncertainty. So look after yourselves out there if you're working in game development. And thank you for making such amazing things that we get to play. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it. Right. There's a few places you can check us out on the internet. Let us know down below what you thought of everything we've discussed today. Peter, where are two of those places where people can go?
We're at youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. All of our videos go out on YouTube and almost all of our streams happen on Twitch. And if you've got Amazon Prime, part of the bundle you are paying for includes a free Twitch sub, which you might not have redeemed in anyone yet. So maybe redeem it on us. It won't cost you anything extra.
Yeah.
We're Team Triple Jump on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. So go over there to have a look at all the kinds of things we're putting out. And if you would like to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Don't forget, there's a brand new main menu on there. Mm-hmm. That's not coming out on the main channel, so it's exclusive.
Special for you. You get access to two episodes of main menu at this point, actually.
Yeah, and a rules boss.
Rules boss next month.
Well, there's also a rules boss already.
A back catalogue, yeah.
Yes. Two episodes of main menu so far. Rules boss next month, and then you'll get a Christmas main menu as well.
Isn't that lovely?
How exciting. Why not go to triplejur.mup? That's our website. That's where you'll find links to everything that we do. You can get a cameo video message from us, etc. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It would really help with Al Gore's rhythms and we'd really appreciate it. That doesn't cost you a thing to go and do that. So please go and do it. Just enough time, Ashton, to talk about this week's sponsor once again, please.
It is, of course, AC. That's Assassin's Creed Montage. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. It's so nice. It's the nicest thing ever. Thank you for watching/listening. Look after yourselves and we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.